The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had us some surprising news earlier this week with Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, stepping down as the coach of the Steelers on Tuesday, right after their Monday night loss to the Houston Texans to kick them out of the playoffs. And I just got to say, I hope you Steelers fans are happy with that, because a lot of you entitled motherfuckers have been complaining about Mike Tomlin. And I'm calling you entitled because, as a Cowboys fan, you know, I'll take Mike Tomlin as my coach and his career any fucking time. If that was my coach, like, I would probably be crying today if Mike Tomlin was the coach of the Cowboys and we got his career and him doing what he did for those 19 years, I would be fucking devastated. But I know a lot of you entitled crybaby Steelers fans were wanting him fired. And it's like, I was laughing so hard because on Monday night, you know, the pregame, they're kind of going over his career. Nobody knew he was retiring, but they're just, you know, going over the playoff stats, his overall career. And I'm just like laughing to myself because, you know, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, ever, as a coach, ever. Do you know how many coaches can say that? None. Absolutely none. No coach ever can fucking say that. Throughout the history of this league, the dude is just very fucking consistent. And he made the playoffs lots of times. And I know all you Steelers fans are so upset he only won one Super Bowl. It's like, y'all act like winning a Super Bowl is so motherfucking easy. Just because these dynastic teams like the Kansas City Chiefs of this era, or the New England Patriots of the previous era, or my Dallas Cowboys of the era before that, or the San Francisco 49ers of the 80s, or your Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s, or the Green Bay Packers of the 60s, it is not easy to create a dynasty. And to actually get the career that Mike Tomlin had, y'all are so motherfucking lucky, because I'm not kidding. If Mike Tomlin was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys and had that 19-year career and he stepped down on Tuesday, I would be so depressed today. I'd be like, what are we going to do? But I know all y'all Steelers fans are, ooh, hip-hop hooray, like the world is going to change next week. Nah, it ain't. As a matter of fact, I really, you know, the Steelers are a great organization. I actually love the Steelers as an organization. I have a ton of respect for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. It's their fit crybaby ass fans who I just cannot fucking stand just because of their attitude towards Mike Tomlin over all these years. So I hope they actually whiff on this next coach. And I hope you get like 5 years of shit just to see what you got from Mike Tomlin. Now, the players, not happy. The players, there's been many players who have played for him over the years who have already been like shocked, devastated, can't believe it, giving him his flowers. But also the current team. The current team of players were just devastated who have played for him. So that's how you know how great of a coach Mike Tomlin is. The players who give a shit, those are the opinions that matter to me, not you crybaby ass entitled fucking Steelers fans. I swear to God, I hope you get some shit stain coach and just have to be a bottom dweller team for like 5 years. That's what I'm hoping for. But we'll see what happens with the Steelers organization now. I mean, it was completely unexpected. Good for Tomlin. I mean, who knows what he's going to do. This could be one of those where it's like, because since he stepped down, the Steelers actually do retain his rights as coach. So if this is one of those where he just steps away for a year and then wants to come back next year, they would have to actually trade him to another team, kind of like with Sean Payton in the Saints and the Broncos did a few years ago. So that could be it. But also, from what it sounds like, this might actually be it for Mike Tomlin. I mean, you never know. But we'll see. Regardless, Mike Tomlin was a fantastic coach. And I, as a Cowboys fan, respected the shit out of Mike Tomlin. Loved Mike Tomlin. And just totally respect everything he did. And we'll see what he does in the future. But I'm hoping the Steelers whiff on their next coach. And you Steelers fans really get to feel what it's like to have a shitty-ass coach for a few years. But we'll see how that goes. And then in also coaching news, it looks like John Harbaugh is going to be signing with the New York Giants, and that pisses me the fuck off as a Cowboys fan for obvious reasons. It's not finalized or anything, but that's the way it's looking. So let's get into actual football that's going on this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. Oh, it is an excellent weekend of football. I mean, this is usually the best week. For the playoffs, this is usually it. This is usually the closest matchups. I don't know why. It just ends up being the best weekend of football. I mean, first of all, we get games on Saturday and Sunday. So, of course, we get a full weekend of football. So, let's get started with the matchups we have on tap. And we have us some doozies. Beginning with on Saturday. The Buffalo Bills at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a one-point favorite. And the Broncos, they are the number one overall seed. They are the number one defense in the league. It's just, what do we get from this offense? It is so shoddy. It is so weird. But they are also that team that's capable of, even if they're down, you cannot overlook them. The Buffalo Bills, on the other hand, they are that team. We don't know what the fuck we're getting from them. Now, last week, they had an excellent game. So what does that mean? This week, it probably means they're going to have a meh. Not so wonderful game. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel like the Denver Broncos defense is coming to feast in this one. I think Denver is ready to go. I just feel like Denver's ready to go. For some reason, I just feel like the Denver Broncos defense is going to have a field day in this one. And I just think they're going to take care of business. I think they're going to make it a difficult day for Josh Allen. I don't think Cooks is going to have a good day on the ground. And James Cook. They've got Cook and they've got Cooks on this team as well. That's what kind of last names we've got going on here. But I do think the Buffalo defense is going to have a solid day. But I think the Denver defense is going to be better. And I think the Denver offense is going to do just enough. And I think the Denver defense is really, like I said, going to take care of business against Josh Allen. And I've got the Denver Broncos winning a close one, 20-17. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 7.5-point favorite. These have been great matchups all season so far. So I'm expecting this one to actually be a good one as well. No George Kittle in this game. So that just takes away more, just another big player from the Niners. But you know what? They have not made excuses this entire season for losing those teams, losing those players all season long. But I just kind of feel like at some point it is going to catch up, and I think that is going to be this week. You know, Seattle's coming off of the bye week as well. Their defense is also nothing to fuck with. This defense actually really took it to them just, 2-3 weeks ago? So I just kind of feel like while I've got a kind of a high-scoring game in this one, I do think both defenses are going to play pretty well, but I think the Seattle offense is going to do just enough. As a matter of fact, I think the Seattle running game is actually going to play a prominent role in this one because the San Francisco 49ers defense, while it's played very well this season, they're not that good against the running game. And I kind of feel like the Seahawks are not a running game you really want to go up against if you can't really play the run well. And they've got two good running backs. And I just kind of feel like their running game is going to play a prominent role in this one. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what it is all day. They're not going to have to really rely on Sam Darnold other than to make a couple of big plays here and there. But I just think the Seattle defense is ready to play. I wouldn't be shocked if they have a couple of turnovers, maybe even one for a score as well. But I do think it's going to be a close matchup. I don't think the Niners are going to just, you know, curl up into a ball and roll away. But I do think that the Seahawks are going to dominate this game. I think they're going to have the lead for the majority of the way. And I do have the Seahawks winning this close one, 27-24. Then our Sunday matchups, we have the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 3-point favorite. And I think that's kind of a big favorite. Simply because this Houston Texans defense is really fucking good. If you didn't see that in their playoff game against the Steelers, you're going to see it in this game against the New England Patriots, because the New England Patriots offense did not show up last week. As a matter of fact, the New England Patriots offense was lucky to muster up the amount of points that they did. It was pretty much a field goal fest for them, and it just did not look good at all. So if that's how they played last week, imagine what they're going to do, what the Texans are going to do to this offense this week. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be a really Texans-heavy defense. I won't be shocked if this defense not only causes some turnovers, but scores some points again. And I think that's what's going to keep the Texans in the game this entire way. As a matter of fact, I think this is going to be a defensive battle both ways. But I think the Texans' offense is starting to spark just a tiny bit, and they're starting to do just enough each and every game. Even, you know, the last game against the Steelers, CJ Stroud did not look good at all. He had three freaking turnovers, and they were his fault turnovers. They weren't those like, oh my God, this bounced off of a receiver turnovers. No, they were like, what are you doing turnovers? And in spite of that, the Texans still won. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. As a matter of fact, I think CJ Stroud's going to step it up. I think the Texans' offense is going to do enough, and I think the Texans' defense is going to dominate in this one. I think it's going to be a close matchup. I think the Patriots' defense is going to come to play, but I don't think their offense is going to come to play. And I have the Texans upsetting the New England Patriots in this one, 20-19. Then our last matchup is the Los Angeles Rams at the Chicago Bears. Right now, shockingly, the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite. I was very shocked to see that, simply because it's not going to be good weather for the Rams. And the Rams play in L.A., if y'all didn't know. But I don't think that's really going to matter at all. I don't think the Rams care where they play. I don't really think the weather matters either. The Bears, same thing. But the Bears the Rams better not overlook the Bears at all. As a matter of fact, if the Rams get out to a heavy lead in this one, which wouldn't surprise me if they did, let's say heading into halftime, it is 21-10. The Rams better not let up. They better keep it moving, because that has been their problem all season long. They get out ahead. Headed into halftime, boom, shakalaka, boom. It's like 24-3. Oh, it's looking like it's going to be Rams all day. And then they just get shut out in the second half, and then they either lose the game or barely hang on to the game. So they better not do that shit in this one. And I think they're going to not do that in this one. I actually think it's about time that the Bears kind of run into a wall. I think they reached their emotional peak last week. There's times where that happens in the season where you, especially in the playoffs, where you just expunge a lot of energy on this amazing game that you had. And that's what I think is going to happen to the Bears in this one, where they just had this great comeback win over their division rivals, the Packers, last week. They finally got their first playoff win in like 15 years. I can't even remember how long it's been, but it's been a long time since the Bears won a playoff game. But now I think it's time that the Rams actually show the world that they are a legit team. I think the Rams are kind of pissed off that they've had some of these close ones. And I do think the Rams are going to get out to a quick lead in this one. I think they're going to keep the lead, but I think the Bears will be in it the whole way. But I think the Rams are just going to be too much for the Bears in this. I just think the Rams have too much offensively. They have too much going on with Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, Parkinson at tight end. I mean, they just have so many dudes who could score, and then their defense can even score as well. Their defense takes care of business. The Bears actually don't really have that many spark plugs on offense other than Caleb Williams. So unless somebody makes a big play, and a lot of times you're seeing a lot of these Bears receivers, Williams makes the big play, but they make the big drop, and it just looks terrible in the end. And so I just kind of feel like that's what's going to happen in this one. I feel like it's just going to be them running out of gas and the Rams just hanging on. And I've got the Rams winning 31-21. Now, that does sound kind of like a high score. I waffled back and forth on that one. But I just kind of feel like the Rams are going to go off on this one. That's just kind of what I'm feeling. But we'll see. So let's move on to the NBA, because we had us quite the week in the NBA. Let's get started on Monday. The Sacramento Kings, they are turning it on. They actually smashed my Los Angeles Lakers 124 to 112. DeMar DeRozan had 32 points. Russell Westbrook had 22 points. And then on the other side, Luka Doncic, like I said, he is scoring out of his mind. He had 42 fucking points. But the Lakers still lost, and it was an ass-kicking, too. There was, like, no point in this game where the Lakers looked good. And as a matter of fact, let me bring up a little something that kind of pissed me off in this game. So, this has been a weird, weird year in regards to LeBron James. You know, it started off with this out-of-nowhere injury, and I'm not saying he's faking it or anything. I fully believe he was injured. But it was just an out-of-nowhere thing, and it's kind of starting to feel like there's some tension between LeBron and the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers. It just is, I've tried to ignore it because, you know, I don't like to play into that kind of media bullshit. But the more this goes on this season, the more it looks like it's happening. Because, you know, before this game, as a matter of fact, his stupid agent goes off on a stupid podcast and says the Lakers need to trade Austin Reeves. Skirt! Shut the fuck up. Ain't nobody looking to get rid of Austin Reeves, y'all, okay? If the Lakers were to get rid of Austin Reeves, that would be the stupidest motherfucking shit this team does. As a matter of fact, if we get rid of anybody, it should be LeBron motherfucking James. Dude takes up a lot of money on our contract, or on our roster, and on our salary cap. And we could get a lot of players for him. So if we're trading anybody, get rid of this motherfucker. Now back to this game against the Sacramento Kings. There is one point where everybody's on the bench. It's a timeout. And, you know, they're doing their usual thing where the coach is at the whiteboard. They're drawing up a play. And everybody on the Lakers is in the huddle. Except LeBron motherfucking James. And that's the bothersome shit to me. When I saw that, I was like, okay, maybe there is something going on here, because he is not only not involved in whatever they're talking about in this timeout, but he's sitting at the complete opposite end of the bench where everybody's at with his hands, with his arms crossed like a little bitch. He looks like he's mad and pissed off about something. And it's, I'm like, yo, like, you're LeBron James, man. Like, It just from a fan's perspective, he just looks stupid. And when I saw that shit and I hear his fucking agent earlier in the day saying trade Austin Reeves, nah. As a Lakers fan, I'm getting to the point where I'm about to say fuck LeBron. I don't want to get to that point because I don't like to be that fan. But when I see your ass sitting on the opposite end of the bench like that, I got a problem if you ain't being a team player. And he wasn't looking like a team player at that point in the game, especially with the comments from his stupid-ass agent earlier in the day. If the Lakers get rid of Austin Reeves, that is stupid. Him and Luka, they look great on the court together. That's all I'm saying. We need to make some moves, and those moves ain't get rid of Austin Reeves. Aight? Ugh, goddamn. So that's my rant on the Lakers. Let's get into the rest of the week of basketball. So the other LA team, the Clippers, they're actually playing some pretty solid basketball right now. But it really actually wasn't about their win over the Charlotte Hornets that night, beating them 117 to 109. It was actually James Harden is moving up the all-time scoring list. He passed Shaquille O'Neal. Now he is ninth on the all-time scoring list. He actually had 32 points and 10 assists on the night. Kawhi Leonard had 35 points himself. And a big win for the Clippers, who are actually playing some pretty solid basketball right now. Then on Tuesday, the Houston Rockets got back in order against the Chicago Bulls, 119 to 113. Kevin Durant had 28 points, 10 rebounds. Shane Goon came back from his injury. He had 23 points and 11 assists. And Amen Thompson had 23 points as well. Then the Minnesota Timberwolves had a huge game against the Milwaukee Bucks, 139 to 106. What was so huge about this game is no Anthony Edwards and no Rudy Gobert due to a suspension, but they had Julius Randle, who went off for 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Naz Reid also added in 19 points as well in a dominating win from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder were finally able to beat the San Antonio Spurs. Not only beat them, but kick their motherfucking ass. They got the win 119-98. SGA had 34 points and Williams had 20 points in a completely dominating win that the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's not like anybody doubted who they were as a team this season, but it's like when you lose to the Spurs three times in a row, you need to get at least one of those wins. And not only was it a win, it was a very convincing win as well. Then on Wednesday, the Cleveland Cavaliers had a huge game over the Philadelphia 76ers, 133-107. Donovan Mitchell went off, 35 points and 9 assists. But unfortunately, Darius Garland injured his other foot. He injured one of his feet earlier in the season, missed a good chunk of the beginning of the season due to that, and now he has another injury to his opposite foot this time around. Doesn't look like it's going to be like a season-ending type thing, but they're playing it basically day by day right now. But that definitely takes the wind out of their sails because they were really starting to get going when he was starting to get more and more healthy. Then we had the Denver Nuggets take down the Dallas Mavericks 118-109, and still no Nikola Jokic. It didn't matter, though. Jamal Murray, 33 points. Aaron Gordon, 22 points. And this team keeps on winning without Jokic. And Jokic is actually getting back to practice. So that means he's probably headed back here in the next week or two. So Denver keeps on winning without Jokic, and then they get Jokic back, and this might be a very scary team in the second half of the season. Then the Sacramento Kings won again on Wednesday night, this time over the New York Knicks, 112-101. Unfortunately, Jalen Brunson came out and injured himself right away, right in the first quarter, so he was out. Doesn't look like it's going to be a major injury, but still, big deal for the Knicks. But in this game, DeRozan had 27 points. Precious Achiuwa, he had 20 points and 14 rebounds. And then LaVine had 25 points as well. And the Sacramento Kings just keep on winning, at least for the time being. And then last night, we had the Orlando Magic beat the Memphis Grizzlies in Berlin, 118-111. That was really just the highlight of this game. Anthony Black had a crazy dunk on literally, I think it was three or four Memphis Grizzlies. Like, it is a crazy dunk. If you have not seen it, go watch it. It is nuts to watch this dude. Usually when you see a dude, when you see somebody get posterized, it's like one guy. Nah, he literally posterizes three, four dudes surrounding him, and he makes it look easy. But he dropped 21 points, and then Paolo Banchero dropped 26 points and 13 rebounds in this one. Then also on Thursday night, the Detroit Pistons took down the Phoenix Suns 108-105. Big deal is they got Durant back, and he had 16 points and 18 rebounds in this one. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, they got their fifth win in a row, this time over the Houston Rockets, 111-91. SGA had 20 points, and Chet Holmgren had 18 points and 9 rebounds. Then we also had a couple of free agent signings, big free agent signings here in Major League Baseball. One, I'm very happy for. The other one, I am super fucking pissed off about because, of course, as usual, for like the 900th year straight, the Dodgers signed yet again the biggest guy on the free agent market. Kyle Tucker yesterday signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I was so pissed because it was looking like, oh my God, he might sign with the Mets. You know, I wasn't going to be upset if he signed with the Mets because at least he didn't sign with the Dodgers. I am so sick to death of every goddamn season the Dodgers get the best fucking free agent every single year. It's like, oh, why? 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 And I am actually not that person who's anti-salary or who wants a salary cap. I actually like the way baseball is. I kind of feel like if you've got the money, spend it, because it actually doesn't buy championships. The Yankees spend a lot of money. The Mets spend a lot of money. The Mets they spend more money than the Dodgers, as a matter of fact, and they don't have any championships. The Yankees haven't had a championship since 2009, and they spend a lot of money. So just because you spend a lot of money does not guarantee a championship, but it guarantees you in my fucking face some more. And, you know, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, so I have to see the stupid Dodgers all the fucking time, and here they are with yet another damn good player, the best. I was so mad. When I saw that breaking news, I said, of course. I was thinking, ooh, the Mets might get him. Ooh, the Mets. And then, of course, no. The stupid motherfucking Dodgers signed Kyle Tucker, the best available free agent on the freaking market. And get better. Oh, I am so mad. If you can't tell, I am so mad over that. But it is what it is. Oh, God damn you, Dodgers. Why? Why? And then the other free agent signing happened right before I started recording this. And it's not as bad. As a matter of fact, it didn't piss me off near as much. As a matter of fact, I'm praising God he didn't actually go to the Dodgers. Bo Bichette signed with the New York Mets today. At least, you know, they got their dude. It's looking like he's actually going to play third base with them. So, I mean, good for the Mets that they were actually able to sign somebody because it looked like they were really all in on Kyle Tucker. But no, the stupid Dodgers were all in on Kyle Tucker as always. But at least Bo Bichette did not end up with the Dodgers in a shocking turn of events. But we'll see who the Dodgers get next because they get everybody because they're the motherfucking Dodgers. All right, so let's move on to the top five this week. And since Mike Tomlin retired, you know, Mike Tomlin has a bunch of great quotes over the years. I mean, probably one of the greatest quote masters of all time at the podium is Mike Tomlin for sure. So my top five this week is the top five Mike Tomlin quotes of all time. Now, the standard is probably one of the best Mike Tomlin quotes of all time. Now, it does not make my list. I'm actually just going to name the episode, The Standard is the Standard, because, you know, that quote is, the standard is the standard. That's just what you expect out of Mike Tomlin. But that's what you love about Mike Tomlin. He was so matter of fact with statements like that. The standard is the standard. And so let's get into my top five Mike Tomlin quotes. And it was difficult to choose five because the dude had so many, even recent ones. A recent one is actually number two on this because I was laughing so hard when he said it, but it's like, it's such a Mike Tomlin quote and everybody was so dumbfounded, but it made so much sense when he said it. But let's get into all the other ones. Let's get into number five on my top five Mike Tomlin quotes. Number five is, we're not here to make excuses. Excuses are tools of the incompetent. I love that quote so much because I hate excuse makers. I've always hated excuse makers, not only in sports, but just in life in general. If you fuck up, don't make an excuse. Just own it and move along and get better at life. Excuse makers are for incompetent people who have no interest in getting better. But this is why Mike Tomlin was so successful, because he didn't make excuses. When the Steelers would get their ass kicked, he would literally walk up to the podium and say, yo, we just got our ass kicked tonight and that was terrible. That's where the quote, the standard is the standard, actually came from. Then at number four in my top five Mike Tomlin quotes, I'm not into moral victories, I'm into victories. That is yet another reason why you gotta love Mike Tomlin, because in today's day and age, a lot of people try to discredit championships. They try to say things like, oh, Emmitt Smith isn't that great of a running back because he had such a great offensive line. And it's like, okay. Yeah, the dude who was not only great at the NFL level and is the all-time leading rusher, he was great at the college level and actually still to this day owns some records as a college player. He was great at the high school level and still owns some records to this day at the high school level. He has three Super Bowl championships and was an amazing football player. But yeah, he was completely overrated because he had a great offensive line. Anybody who says shit like that is a fucking moron. Also, people who like to say, oh, LeBron made it to 10 championships, but he's 4-6 in those championships. It's like, dude, He's not better than Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan is 6-0 in his championships. See, the difference there is that Michael Jordan never lost, whereas LeBron lost 6 times. Now, that's great that LeBron went to 10 championships, but he lost 6, and Michael Jordan won 6, and he's 6-0. That actually matters more if you won more championships and are undefeated in your championships. And we all know if Michael Jordan didn't retire for those 2 years, he'd be 8-0 in championships. But that's another argument for another day. But the whole moral victories thing is such a typical thing in today's day and age, where it's like they like to, You know, for example, like all the time, they like to hype up Josh Allen. And don't get me wrong, I love Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is a fun quarterback to watch. But he ain't no Patrick Mahomes. And you know why? Because Patrick Mahomes has 3 Super Bowl rings and Josh Allen has 0 Super Bowl rings. So I don't hype up Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen, like I just said, very talented, very fun to watch. But when we're comparing the two, no, Patrick Mahomes wins simply because of the Super Bowls, not because of, oh my God, Josh Allen's got this great arm and he could do this, that, and the other. No. Patrick Mahomes is greater because he has more Super Bowl rings, and that's what matters. And that's why I like this quote of, I'm not into moral victories, I'm into victories, is because I don't like moral victories. Moral victories are for losers. So that's why I love that quote. Speaking of losers, let's get into number 3 on my top 5 Mike Tomlin quotes. Stats are for losers. That is another great quote because this is another thing in today's day and age with sports fans I despise. I despise you analytical idiots with your stupid stats on this, that, and the other. Oh my God, this many teams have won the Super Bowl if they did this, and this many teams did. You can make a stupid stat for any stupid, pointless, mindless, idiotic, stupid fucking thing you possibly want to do. But that is why I love this quote, because stats are for losers. Stats are for people who just need to feel better about something else, when it's like you could just look on the field and see what's good and see what's not. And people who sit around going, well, the analytics say, it's like, no, sometimes you should just take the motherfucking points. And sometimes just taking the motherfucking points is the smart move. Not going for it on 4th and 1 and then getting held back and then letting the other team score on the next possession. That is why stats are for losers. And that is why I love that quote, because he straight up said that to the media when they were like, oh, but what about the analytics? And he goes, stats are for losers. And I couldn't agree more. Then at number 2 on my top 5 Mike Tomlin quotes, this one just happened a couple weeks ago after they beat the Baltimore Ravens. It made me laugh so freaking hard, especially the reaction of the media, because they didn't get it. So the context of this was, so the way the Steelers won the game is the Ravens kicked the field goal. They had a chance to win it. They were down 2. Had they got the field goal, they would have won the game. But their kicker missed the field goal. It just went wide right, and it just missed it. And one of the stupid reporters asked the stupid question, what if? What if you go through? Then what? And you just, and I totally get what Mike Tomlin said when he said this. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle. And what the media didn't get about that was, is he was trying to point out how nonsensical and stupid that question was. Because it's like, oh my God, what if? The magic what ifs of life. It's like, it didn't happen. And what he was pointing out is, if his aunt had male parts, she would be his uncle. Saying his aunt doesn't have male parts, so she's still his aunt. And it's like, if you didn't get that, that's why he was literally, and he had a big ass smile on his face when he did it. And when he said it, I literally laughed so hard. I was like, oh my God, that is one of my favorite top Mike Tomlin quotes of all time, because Jesus Christ, that was basically a double middle finger in the face of that stupid reporter asking that stupid ass question. But number 1 on my top 5 Mike Tomlin quotes, and it is a fate. I remember watching this game. I remember it was a Sunday night football game. I don't remember who they were playing. It might have been the Baltimore Ravens, but I don't quite remember. It was a few years ago, and they were heading into the locker room, and of course, the stupid idiot sideline reporter asks the stupid idiot questions. And at this point in the game, the Steelers were down. And I don't think they were getting their ass kicked, but they were down in the game. So, boo, how you go win? How you go score? And then he looks at the reporter and he goes, don't blink. If you a blinker, cut your eyelids off. I love that quote so much that I actually wrote a song. I haven't released it yet, but it's called Don't Blink. And that is the hook of the song, is don't blink, cut your eyelids off. Because when I heard that quote, I was like, that is one of the greatest quotes ever. Because I just imagined somebody cutting their fucking eyelids off, because that's just What he's saying is we're down, but you better not blink. And if you are a blinker, you better cut your eyelids off because we ain't got time for blinkers on this team. And that is the ultimate Mike Tomlin quote to me. I remember Sunday Night Football, him saying that right to the bitch's face after the stupid, idiotic question. And I love that quote still to this day. And like I said, I've even written a song with that quote. Hasn't been released yet, but it's been recorded and it's going to be out on a future release. Don't know when because it's not on my next upcoming album. It's on a collab album. So it's still in the works right now. But just know that that quote is so awesome to me that I made an entire song about it. So thank you, Mike Tomlin, for all, not only the great quotes, but just the great coaching over the years. I mean, you were one of the best to do it. You were so fun to watch. And as a Cowboys fan, I respect the fuck out of you. And whatever you do in the future, good luck to you. I'm sure you're going to be great at it. And, you know, thank you for all the great years of being a coach and all the great quotes you provided us over the years. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.